Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaray. Rabbi Lez, you can hear me? Okay, good. I can't hear you though. I apologize. Okay. Okay, Simchas Torah. Let's discuss in Yadi Simchas Torah. First thing we're going to talk about, just a general overview, is to appreciate that we need some volume. We need some testing. All right, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Who is this guy testing? Everyone is cool.
Who is he? Who is Mr. Testing? Who is Allah? Who is Allah? Allah is a Gizah Hersha. Allah Esendah. Go to a place. Who gives a Hersha? Allah Esendah. Okay, here we go. So we're learning over here today about Simchas Torah. Now here's a general Yisoy about Simchas Torah, which requires, which I don't know the answer to this, and I'll give you 14 examples. On Simchas Torah, for some reason, there is a minhag to be very, very lenient in halacha, to basically break all of the rules of halacha, things that during the year would be mamish, categorically forbidden, and these are serious things, these are not small matters. And for some reason, on Simchas Torah, everything goes. I'll give you now 14 examples.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, are you allowed to dance? It says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Shema Yisakein Klei Shia. Once you start dancing, once you're in the tapchim, jumping around, you start doing this, you start doing that. I want to welcome the Safta. The Safta should be aware that we cannot hear him. He came late today because I didn't have time to fix the computer, so hopefully you can hear me, but unfortunately I cannot hear you. Okay, so unfortunately it's going to be a one-way broadcast for now.
Isn't it a shvus to shvus?
A shvus to shvus? What do you mean a shvus to shvus? It's a shvus.
Being
the sakin that kli is only a shvus? No, tikkun mon, it can mean deraisa. Tikkun mon, makir the partner, be kalim. It can very well be a malacha deraisa.
Fixing the mutter and mikdash.
In the mikdash, when the mikdash, the avoda is deraisa shavu. First of all, the Beis Hamikdash says they fixed it. They were not. In Mikdash, there was no shvus. Ain shvus b'mikdash. That's a controversial statement. Exactly what that means. But generally, in the Beis Hamikdash, they were allowed to play musical instruments. Why are we not concerned? An instrument break, and they need to fix it. They need to fix it. Ain shvus b'mikdash. I know our box have a lot to say here, so I'm going to reboot. I'm going to reboot the computer, and we'll tell some jokes until the computer is rebooted. Okay, so I told you my joke yesterday about, not my joke, did I tell you this joke? I didn't tell you the joke, I was even love this joke. I'm going to just figure out how to turn off the computer. I didn't want to do that. Everything has to be so complicated today. It used to be very easy to turn off the computer. This new version of Windows, version 11, I don't know how to turn this off. It's crazy. Everything has to be so complicated when you start. Okay, so there's a halacha. Halacha is a zehu ashir hasoneach b'chelukai. Right? Hasoneach b'chelukai. That is, you don't have to have real money. All you have to have is be happy. A zehu ashir hasoneach b'chelukai. That's a takonas chazal. That's a gemara. It's a mishnah. Midaraisa, you need to have real money. Oh, yes, you like that? A love of Shabbat. Okay, any other jokes?
Yeah. What you just saying, the topic, the Minig Yisrael Torah has a lot of things that they frowned upon. It said they wanted to be helping that they used to do with people. They would make a bonfire in a simple story to burn the sukkah.
Bonfire on
to
burn
the
sukkah.
It was a minig in Europe at a certain town where on simple story they burn the sukkah. They make a bonfire. And that the Rabbanim were very much against, but it was in a strong meaning in a lot of places. It, just to show whatever it is, I don't know why he said it became a big thing.
Burn the sukkah.
Yeah, they would literally start a fire and burn the sukkahs.
Wow.
Yeah, the Rabbanim, try to get them to stop it. Why?
Recording in progress.
Okay, now I can hear everyone. Excellent. Okay. We're in business now, okay? Safta, we can hear you. Please chime in whenever you want. I'm sure you have a lot of Divrei Chachamim. Rabbi Lazy, you can hear us? Okay, good. We hear you as well. Okay, now it works. Okay. Okay, let's review. Let's review the Yisrael we have Simchas Torah Zazoi. The Simchas Torah, I'm going to give you now 14 examples of matters of halacha where we are lenient. Things that ordinarily during the year if a person would do, it would not go off well. Number one, probably the most significant thing is dancing. That it says in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos, you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos. Also to be merake, to bang with your hands, to clap, all these different types of things. And yet, on Simchas Torah, it's as if we've taken that simon Shulchan Aruch and thrown it out the window. There's no limit. People dance very lebedic. They dance, they bang with their feet, they do all these things. And it's also because you may come to Misak and Klei Shir. Now, when we dance today, we don't have musical instruments. There's no playing musical instruments for us, but still, it doesn't make a difference. That's halacha. One thing might lead to another. What's the pshat? Why is it mutter? I don't know why it's mutter. All the poets can say, really, it should be also, but l'chavod ha-Torah, in honor of kavod ha-Torah, why? Where does it say? Simchas Torah is a new minhag. Simchas Torah came long after the takanas chazal, that you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos. And Yom Tov. Simchas Torah is about 450 years old. So how, and the takon of not dancing on Shabbos goes back to the din of the Gemara, goes back at least 1500 years. So how then did all of a sudden it become mutter in Shulchan Aruch to dance on Simchas Torah? It's a shocking chiddush. But the poskim say, yeah, tak is a shocking, but when mushum shum kevoy ha-Torah, it is mutter. I once heard an explanation by my Rebbe, in high school, and he said that when it says in the Gemara, you're not allowed to dance, it doesn't mean the way we dance. If you ever saw Fiddler on the Roof, or you always saw Fiddler on the Roof, that's what it means you're not allowed to do. Fiddler on the Roof, the choreography, it's unbelievable. It's Kedai just to see Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof is apikorsis. It's Kefarel Chabikorsis, that film. Terrible apikorsis. But at least the message there is just horrific. But if you look at the dancing of the weddings of their children, Povia, Chreis, the children, I forgot their names, whatever, the dancing is just unbelievable. I never saw anything like that. Even the tancers, you ever see the tancers?
Yeah.
These professionals, even they don't come to dance nearly. They can go watch some YouTube videos. I saw some YouTube videos. You can go watch them. Okay, they're good. They come with a bottle of wine, and they try to copy what they do in Fiddler on the Roof, but they don't make it exactly. They have professionals who know how to dance. It is unbelievable.
You mean like the bottle dance?
Right. Yeah, well, that's one thing. But if you, this is an art
that
appears that has been totally lost from us. It used to be an art of dancing. A very sophisticated form of dance which has been totally lost from us today. And in those days when they danced, there had to be a certain beat. It was much more sophisticated, much more involved. And that would lead to chashash of Shema Yisakein Klei Shir. And that's why Chazal categorically prohibited this activity. Today, even you go anywhere you go, what are you going to see with Simchas Torah? You're going to see people walking in circles. They're walking in circles, okay, some people more lebedic, less lebedic, do certain sha'arim, you walk back and forth. Maybe some people
jump up and down.
Jump up and down, exactly. Walk in circles, back and forth, up and down. Maybe there are going to be some people that are a bit more sophisticated and have some good moves. Okay, they know how to maneuver themselves. Yeah.
Stay in place. Only the Rebbe.
Only the Rebbe. Like I'm shaking like the Simcha space Hashoeva.
He's dear. Dancing Shemos letters and stuff like that.
Okay, so this is not called dancing. Now, even though it is not called dancing, doesn't matter. Since in our vocabulary it is called dancing, so on a regular Shabbos throughout the year we don't do it. Go to a Sheva Brachas, you're not allowed to dance. There's no dancing. Even though I once went to a Sheva, an Ufruf, and there were mamish dancing. I couldn't believe it. They were dancing. I mean, I learned it was in Kimaris.
Yeah, but they have what they call the yeshiva shuffle. I mean, it's an old thing, the yeshiva shuffle. They don't lift their feet off the ground. They slide around the floor.
They slide around, okay, could be. And there were very chashu people sitting there by the kiddush, and they were there was an ufruf, there was a yasim, and there was a kiddush, and they were like, they were dancing in circles. Not very Lebanon. Very, like you said, it was a shuffle. It wasn't really much of a dance. And how you want to do that,
Mom? We old folks just walk around.
We walk around. So this is what I've heard explained to me why we're matir, even though during the year, even this we do not do, but on Simchas Torah, since Be'etzim it's not called dancing, so we're meikel. Mishum kivoid haTorah, we can be meikel. Okay, that's number one. Number two is making kiddush at night. During the year, it is really unheard of. There's a whole sugya of kiddush b'makom suda. So when we make kiddush by day, okay, I don't remember the process. One year we spent time on this. I don't remember all the details at this moment. But generally, when we go to a kiddush during the whole year, we go to a kiddush Shabbos day. Shabbos day, davening is over. Someone makes kiddush al hayayin. Some chassidim make kiddush on schnapps. And then they have mezoinos, kiddush b'mokum su'uda. It's not really a su'uda, it's only mezoinos. Okay, we do what we do. Did you ever go to a kiddush Friday night? After, think about it, why not? After Friday night, after davening is over, you finish ma'ariv. And after ma'ariv is over, kiddush! Someone takes out a bottle of wine, they fill up the kiddush, and they make kiddush, and they bring a cake, and a little cholent, a little fish. Your wife? Yeah. When I'll come home, I'll make kiddush for later on, and the children. In the meantime, in shul, you have a fabreng. You've never, ever heard of this. Now, you'll tell me the reason why you've never heard of making kiddush Friday night is because it's not practical. But the truth is, halachically, it's very problematic. Because the laws of kiddush b'mokum suda...
Kiddush at night, I'm sorry.
What?
I missed it.
Simchas Torah, Simchas Torah, Simchas Torah. Many people do. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, you daven in a place that adheres to the halacha.
Your grandfather, with Rabbi Rashash, they used to go home after davening, make kiddush, sit down to eat, and they came back.
Right, so that's what they do in the yeshiva world. Depends on the different places, but there are definitely many shuls. And especially in the yeshivas, I go I daven ordinarily for not ruach haTorah around the corner. They make a kiddush right after ma'ariv.
Right.
They don't go home for hakafas, before hakafas. They daven ma'ariv. They daven ma'ariv, and right away after daven ma'ariv, they make kiddush. Someone makes kiddush, and they have cake. They have very little food, very very shvacha stuff.
Just barely
a piece of cake, a sponge cake. But someone makes kiddush. They have some sponge cake, some soda, and their kafas go on for a very long time. Their kafas really do. And the truth is, I mean, most I'm thinking about it. Most places where I go, the kafas are, you know, that I mean, even Chaim Berlin now they make a kafas right away. No, they don't. There's no midnight show anymore.
Really?
No, not anymore. Not since COVID.
So they're not resuming it?
No, they're not.
Wow.
No, they're not resuming it. All the shuls are very upset about this because now no one comes to the regular shuls. It used to be that in the neighborhood, on the block, everyone would stay for the hakafas and shul. They would make it, the boys would make it very lebedic, and then they would finish the whole hakafas. And then the boys would go back to Chaim Berlin later at night, 11
right.
o'clock.
Right.
Now all the boys, there's no one here. Because everyone, all these young boys, they all go to Chaim Berlin because Chaim Berlin makes hakafas immediately. But in Chaim Berlin, they don't make kiddush because it would cost too much money. You can't make a kiddush for the whole year. It wouldn't pass it. So whatever, your problem. If you're hungry, you should just make sure you eat before in the afternoon. They don't provide.
I'm sure the most of them still do this.
What do you mean? All right, it could be, everyone is different.
I went many times to Montage.
Yeah.
Between the terrorists and this tower.
Yeah.
And I don't see them abandoning customs, all that soon.
What do you mean? Which custom? Which
the
custom?
The midnight
hakafas. Okay, fine. We have that. But the shuls that I go, okay, I know as a fact, go to Ruach HaTorah, and they have a very beautiful hakafas. So really, really, very, very special. And they do hakafas right after Ma'ariv. They daven Ma'ariv b'zman. And immediately they have hakafas. They're beautiful hakafas. Very bakodik hakafas. And before they start the hakafas, they have a kiddush. A very meager kiddush. Who says you're allowed to do that? It's one thing to have kiddush remokim suda. You have a kiddush without washing for a suda. I don't know all the pratim. There are a lot of pratim in this halacha. It is a very great leniency in halacha to make kiddush with the bracha shabochar bonu mikol on the bonu mikol loshun loshun says up. Kiddush at night is an ikar hadin. The kiddush by day is a much lighter kiddush. It's just a brilliant. You're not making kiddush. You're not making a special bracha. You're just making bar priagofen. So the rules are much more relaxed. But at night, it's a very serious matter. And the kiddush remokim suda, when you make a special, unique bracha with a shachianu, and you know it's a special bracha, and you're going to patter up the kiddush with some sponge cake without washing for a suuda, zeh lo poshut. This is not so simple. Number two, and we don't do this. I've never seen anyone do this, but it's brought down over here in this sefer Avnei Shoyam. And this is very common pre-war Europe. Probably in Poland, maybe in some cities in Germany, I doubt, but at least in Poland, it was very common. They had the hakafos, you wouldn't believe this, before Ma'ariv. Why? I don't know why.
Because the kids had
a good sleep. Could be, whatever it is. They would have, I guess after Mincha, Mincha was over, I guess Ben Hashmoshes, the second Mincha was over, they had hakafos. And then the hakafos went on and on and on and on and on. And then they had Ma'ariv. You know what it's like? It's, you know, it makes a lot more sense. It's like Kabbalah Shabbos. Think about it. Doesn't that make more sense? Hakafis is a modern innovation. Kabbalah Shabbos is a modern innovation.
Right.
There was no such thing as Kabbalah Shabbos. This is a new thing. We invented Kabbalah Shabbos. And it was usually done not even in shul. It was done out in the field. And then whatever, and it was only by invitation only. And then it became a thing. It became a thing. So L'chaira, when they had our kofis was patterned after Kabbalah Shabbos. Just like going, you get up and you say, boy, kala, boy, kala, boy, v'sholma, and you stand up and you face one way, you turn around, you do this, you do that. Oh, so in honor of Simchas Torah, you do our kofis. It was done before Ma'ariv. And then it took a lot of time, it got elaborate. And when it got elaborate, people got hungry. So you know what they did? They made kiddush before Ma'ariv. Now, are you allowed to do that? Yes, people have the shaila in the summertime. People do this. There are people who actually do this, and they go to the country in the summer. There are a lot of truths about this, where people, they have their suuda first, and then they go to Ma'ariv later after the suuda is over. Pour in, or you stop in the middle. Yeah, but there it's the day
you
stop.
Have to stop.
You don't know. You finish, right? Then you go, you got Ma'ariv later on. Right, in the Chana, but you have to be Chal Shabbat, you have to be careful, right? So there is such a thing. You don't see this anywhere today, but it makes a lot of sense. Because L'chaira, you have to be aware, be very careful. Simchas Torah is a minhag. It's not a halacha, it's not Nikar Hadin. It's, relatively speaking, a more modern minhag in Klal Yisrael. Only been around at most 450 years, maybe even less. And it seems that when they started doing it, it was similar, it was, I think, maybe the same tekufa when they started doing Kabbalah Shabbos. How old is Kabbalah Shabbos? I don't remember. It could be it's that same basic
400 years?
So it's the same idea, it's the same time frame. And L'chaira, to show that it's not part of davening, it was done as in the break, in between Mincha and Ma'ariv.
1119, there is no Kabbalah Shabbos in the city. I'm talking about foreign people.
Which
city? In
Italy. Yeah, they don't do
say,
it.
They don't say Kabbalah Shabbos. They say Mizbah Shili Omer Shabbos.
It wasn't accepted by everyone in Klal Yisrael. So it was done. So what happened? One thing led to another thing. And people got hungry. And they wanted to eat. They got sweated up in the dancing. And they started making kiddush in shul and eating mezonos before Ma'ariv. And that's already really pushing the envelope. It's one thing what we do today, people in some shuls, they make kiddush after Ma'ariv, in shul. And you make kiddush with mokum suda on cake which is not really such a great thing to do, especially the Kiddush at night, because the Kiddush at night is Nikar Hadin. It's not like the Kiddush by day, which is much more lenient. But even to go make Kiddush not according to the Seder is a Mesorah. The Mesorah is you daven Ma'ariv, and then you make Kiddush. Tadir, Vesha'ena, Tadir, Tadir, Koydem. You don't just change the order. There's a Seder, and you got to follow the rules. So what's going on? Well, guess what? For some reason that's not known to us, the night of Simchas Torah, or the day of Simchas Torah, has become a time in the year when things are done, the leniencies in halacha come out in ways that they never would otherwise be acceptable. So far, two things, dancing and making Kiddush before Ma'ariv, or even making Kiddush after Ma'ariv and not eating bread. Okay, number three. This is a very big Kiddush that we do today. It is categorically forbidden to move, to take a Sefer Torah out of the Aron for no reason. You're not allowed to go take a Sefer Torah from place to place, from one shul to another shul, to go into the street, to go and even in shul itself, to take out a Sefer Torah and walk around the Sefer, just walk around with it in shul. You're not allowed to do that. That is, now where does it say that I'll do that? It could be in your day. I don't know exactly where in your day it says this, but it is, Sefer Torah is sacred. You're not metaltel the Sefer Torah. The only time you move a Sefer Torah is only when you need to read. We need a Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah. That's when you take out your metaltel the Sefer Torah. If you look around what goes on in some shuls, it's unbelievable. You take a Sefer Torah, you take it here, you take it there. Go out into the street, you take from one shul to another shul. For what purpose? You don't read from it. You only read, they have Baruch Hashem, they have shuls of many Sefer Torah, so they have one Sefer Torah they read from, and all the other Sefer Torah are just taken out for Simcha. Some people, they have their own private Sefer Torah in their house. Mayor, you have a Sefer Torah? You have the mantle hanging on your steps. But here in shul, so do you take the Sefer Torah from the shul and bring it to another shul? No. Some people do that. They have a Sefer Torah somewhere, and they, for the Simchas Torah, they go to the shul, they have the Sefer Torah, and they take it to another shul. Or they have a Sefer Torah in their house, they take it to shul. What are you doing? Who gave you permission to take a Sefer Torah from one location to another location?
Moshe was very mocked
about that. Exactly. And yet on Simchas Torah, Puchazi Ma'ama Devar, everything goes. No one protests. Why? Mishum kevod haTorah, the honor of the Torah, the minhag has become to be extremely lenient in the ordinary prohibition of the metaltel the Sefer Torah for the purpose of kriyas haTorah. Now, as an aside, I did learn something new over here, which I always wondered about: is there is a heter to take a Sefer Torah for no reason? In this incredible chiddush, if 10 people escort the Sefer Torah. It's a very big chiddush.
They used to do that with the king system of
God. Oh, very, you're saying very good, right. It was a minikadma, 100%. I have even my great-grandfather, a picture of him holding the Sefer Torah to greet one of these kings. It was a minikadma that when Roosevelt came. Yeah. And what? Roosevelt.
They did it in the Bronx.
When Roosevelt came and they did it. They ever hear, yeah, ever hear someone do it recently? Okay, it's a high allowed to take a Sefer, you allowed to take a Sefer Torah in order to makabel a politician, a melech. A melech, you allowed to do this? So the answer is yes. If 10 people escort the Sefer Torah, that's not considered the Sefer Torah is being trialed, is moving. The Sefer Torah the Shechina rests with 10 people. That's a different league. Never this. He brings down this very, goes into this very interesting concept. Now, remember Mark, the last Simchas Torah, Mark Zechon Levracha, and the last Simchas Torah, we took his Sefer Torah to his, we brought, they took it from our Yitzchak
to the house,
yeah. And we leaned and did our coffers in the house.
Yes.
Why was it mutter to do that? Because there were more than 10 people who escorted. It's a long walk. It was a nice, good 10
minutes.
Does
it make a difference if it's a private Sefer?
No, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. So there, maybe you'll say,
did you take out a Sefer Torah to learn? Yes.
to learn, not so simple. The Gula, the Vilna Goyin, he would be the Shnaya Mikra from a Sefer Torah. He would take it out, Erev Shabbos, and would read from a Sefer Torah, Shnaya Mikra. So I guess for learning it's more, I don't know. These are different Gedarm. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But by Mark, Nir was also for Kriya Sator. Okay? So he says, Kriya Sator for Yochid, you're allowed to take Kriya Sator for Yochid, and whatever, the different. But there, they were many more than 10 people. Okay, there was a very chosh of alignment.
Plus, the Sefer Torah was donated.
It doesn't matter. Sefer Torah, once it does donate Sefer Torah, if you now take a Sefer Torah, I'll take a Sefer Torah.
No, but, I mean, why for this specific individual?
Okay, right. It had much more meaning, but still the halach is. But it was a very, very choshev reminder. Yeah. Rachol's Adam, Mark Katz, is a choyin lebracha on the last Simchas Torah. He bought a sefer. He won the lottery.
A raffle.
And
what do you call it? The one who does the all night Ura.
He won the raffle from Ura, and he had a choice of either take the money or get a Sefer Torah. So he wanted the Sefer Torah, and we learned from there. I think we learned on Yom Kippur. We learned from the Sefer Torah on Yom Kippur. It's in the high school building. It's not primarily in the main Rabbi's, but they had it on Yom Kippur by us. And that year, they took the Sefer Torah from the yeshiva and they walked to his house, about a 10-minute walk, at least, maybe even more. And it was a very chashuva thing. And they leaned in the house, they had kofis in the house. It was a very chashuva thing. And so that's a side halacha. If you have 10 people, you're allowed to transport a Sefer Torah. Otherwise, it is osur. Get on Simchas Torah, everything goes. Violate every rule in the book. Why? I don't know why, but there's some reason Simchas Torah, the Minig Yisrael, is to be very lenient in Yonei Halacha. Number four. When they do Hakafas, look around. Many people, even most people, are sitting down. You know how to sit. When the Sefer Torah is in motion, Vayehi bin Sar, that is the Dover Chomer Ma'oid. When the open of the Aron HaKodesh, you really may Iker Hadin do not need to stand because the Sefer Torah is in its own Rishus. Once they put the Sefer Torah on the Bima, you know, I mean, there's an Indian to stand. You know, the real Indian to stand is when they say Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMavarach. That's the most important time to stand. Right. Okay, but really, for the laning, you know, I mean, there's different than Hagim, obviously. Okay, different than Hagim. But may Iker Hadin, the Gra sat. The Gra did not stand for Kriya Satara. The Gra sat for Kriya Satara.
A lot of us old folks do.
A lot of young folks also do. Okay?
That's another story.
Moshe stood.
He would run back after the Mishra Berachs. He ran back to his desk. He used to stand right by the Sefer Torah.
To hear very clearly.
But he ran back to his desk. He was looking at the Sefer. But the minute the person said Baruch Hu, he jumped out of his seat.
Wow. He was very agile, Rabbi Moshe.
Well, whatever it is, I'm talking about, he was still in his 60s in those days.
So, Mikra Adin, Rav Chutner had this is a very interesting letter. You know Bamberger? Famous Jewish letters, famous Jewish places, famous Jewish sites. He has a series of coffee table books. A beautiful svara. They're really unbelievable stuff. And I see that thing in the letter. Rav Chutner, Zichron Levracha, it's one of his famous letters. I think it's either a letter or his famous speeches, where he spoke about that the yeshiva world has a code of conduct that is outside Shulchan Aruch. It's a fascinating letter, and the I think the prime example he gives there in that letter is that in the yeshivas, the Olam HaYeshivas, I assume he refers to Slobodka, Arvardik, the old yeshivas, you know, Volozhin, going back, and today it carries through today in the entire yeshiva world, there's almost a hakpada that young, especially young boys who have koyach, they should stand for Kriya Satar. Even though it doesn't say this anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. And especially according to the Goyim, the Vilna Goyim himself, held Adarabba, he's supposed to sit. There's a certain Yiras HaRemimus, where in the yeshiva world, he gave this as an example. Where does it say this? Nowhere. But this is the Minig HaYeshiva. It says, you have to see the letter inside. Look at Bamberger's famous, I think it's famous letters. Very, very fascinating. And the reason why it's fascinating is I know that in Chaim Berlin, the Rosh Hashiva Shlita, in Shabbat Refuah Shlema, he's in the hospital now. Shabbat Shlema.
Yes.
So he hasn't been in yeshiva in a very long time, but when he was in his tokvai, he was very makrid on this. And he would chepa anyone, any boy. I remember a guy in my class, he in Shabbos, he sat. And I listen, there were a lot of zakenim there who sat the whole Kriyas HaTorah. Don't kid yourself. But there were, my guy in my class, how old was he? He was probably then 18, 19 years old. And he was sitting for Kriyas HaTorah. And the Rashiva called him over and he gave him an earful. Why did he give him an earful? Only because Rav Chutner, his Rebbe, Rav Chutner, you know, it was a pet peeve, one of his pet peeves. In a yeshiva, you're young and healthy, you're 18 years old, how dare you sit for Kriya Santar? How dare you? This is the code of conduct in a yeshiva. Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Nowhere! But that's the code of conduct for a Ben Torah in yeshiva. Listen, once you become 25 years old and have a few kids, and you're up the whole night with them, okay, maybe then it's different. But an 18-year-old boy, this is Rav Chudner's, it was a big thing by Rav Chudner, this concept that in the Olam HaYeshivas, there's a different code of conduct. Any event, on Simchas, now, so then standing during Kriyas HaTorah, you don't have to be machmir. Once you get to a certain age, no one's going to say boo to you if you sit during Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, many Rosh Hashivas I see, they sit during Kriyas HaTorah. They don't have koyach to stand. But when must you stand according to the law, the halacha, is when a Sefer Torah is in motion. When a Sefer Torah is in motion, you must stand. Hakafas. Are the Sefer Torah in motion? You bet they are. Look around. Is everyone sitting or standing? 90% of the people are sitting. This is a violation of the halacha. Now, I know you'll tell me, Baruch will probably tell me a lot of good stories, that there were many Gedolei Yisrael that really were Moiser Nefesh to stand during the entire time of Hakafas, not to be in violation of this halacha. But that's for the Yechidei Skula, not for the faint of heart.
There's one other there to get. You're able to sit down.
I'm sorry?
You're able to sit down if you're holding the
Sefer Torah. If you're holding, that's an
Eitzah.
Yeah, but sometimes the Sefer holding
is... I'm just saying, I read it in the Torah, and late, 2 3 years,
we managed to
stand on it.
So
we have a very small Sefer Torah.
Very small
Sefer
Torah, so
he held
it.
And he sat down and he held the Sefer Torah.
That's the Eitzah. The Eitzah is the holding.
Because the Rebbe never, ever sat down in the good days, if he hadn't sit down or whatever, he went out of the shul. He did not sit down in the shul. He walked out. If he had learned or something, he never sat during our covers.
He never sat during our covers because the Sefer Torah are in motion.
Okay. Yeah.
You have a lot, you're a collection of Gedolei Yisrael that were very makbid on this. But Pukhazi, the Hamoin Am, is not makbid on this. Why? During the year, they would be makbid. They would never be caught sitting when the Sefer Torah is in motion. All of a sudden, Simchas Torah, v'hamoinam, the multitudes are very lenient in this matter. That is number four. Number five, since when did you ever see a child get an aliyah during the year? It's big enough chiddush to let a child lane. That happens sometimes. But to let a child get an aliyah? When did you ever see that happen? And we all know that Simchas Torah, Ketanim, they get aliyahs. Number six. Since when in shul did they repeat the parasha more than once? Can you imagine Mary go to shul and they lay in parasha Sayyidzeh? One parasha. Or Matas Masseh. And after you finish Matas Masseh over Yaakov Pekudei, you know that was so good. It was so enjoyable. Let's do it again.
They
what? Why are you learning the Zeis HaBracha over and over again? What?
They don't finish the parsha. They do it.
They do this. Okay, but they.
They don't even finish the parsha.
Okay, but okay, but they fine. But they repeat sections. They repeat a whole chunk of the parsha. What's going on here? Did you ever go to shul during the winter, during the year? Oh, you know that was so good that they learned the masois with this nigun. Oh yeah 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 yeah. Let's do it again, and again, and again. And we'll give more aliyahs. And more aliyahs. What are you talking about? You don't repeat anything. In the CM
yeah,
is...
Yeah, but you take out the sefer just to read the Nesiyan?
Because that's a separate... And that's Kriya Sator. That's during Chodesh El, Chodesh Nisan. But you only read it once. You don't go on there. You don't make a bracha. That's a minute. That's a different thing. But over here, you go and you repeat part of the Kriya Sator. You make a bracha. Nachamo. Who didn't get an aliyah? Oh, you need Nachamo. Oh, another round. What's going on over here? This is not, you know, you're not Marbe and Brachos. You're not Moitzi Shem. You don't do this during the year. During the year. Is it also, if someone would do this during the year, would it be also? No. But is it done? No, it's not acceptable to do this. You don't go be Marbe and Shem Shemai and Brachos for no reason. It's Kriya Sator. You do it once a Zehu. It's not a game. And all of a sudden, Simcha Sarah. Nachamol, again and again and again. This
when I made a bris in the house with my last child on Shabbos, so I took the sefer that I told Rav Dovid I wanted to take the sefer Torah to the house to make a minyan. So he said, of course, you lay three times, right? So I said, they have sefer Torah that are miyuchad for traveling, so to speak. But he gave me a long speech, and then he told me what I had to do. And I know I had 40 people in the house. He said, so if you're going to lay, you're going to lay mincha, you have to lay mincha, you're going to have to lay twice by chakras. But he told me that the minion that is going to heal the first time is you have to have people during the first laning go out and heal laning for the first time when they come in the second time to heal the laning. Was just to lay the sedra twice. In other words, to make it two laning.
Exactly. You can't just repeat the laning. Right. Okay, it's a good point. You make a very, very good point. Rabbi Lazer is making because the Ikra Din.
And today, Chalamoid, you repeat the.
Can you repeat? Okay, you repeat. You write. You repeat. No. You don't repeat. You do. You write. Repeat. You do. You repeat. You write. You repeat. Rosh Chodesh, you repeat two psukim. On Rosh Chodesh, you repeat two psukim. Okay, you're making a very good point. We do find that we do repeat. That's correct. You have a very, very good point. However, not to this degree. The reason why we repeat is because there are reasons. You repeat the matter because it's... No, you don't call the person... It's a bezayin. To call up a person only to read the Nevi'im. Because the darga of the Nevi'im is much less... When the darga, the level of reading from the Torah, so to call up a person to read from the Nevi'im would be a bezayin. So in order not to insult him, we read from the parsha. He first makes the bracha on the Torah, and then he reads from the Nevi'im. So you'll ask, why didn't we do like the time of the Gemara? In the time of the Gemara, the one that got master was the one that got shvi. There was no repetition. In the time of the Gemara, there was no repetition. The one that got Shavi is the one that immediately learned from the Haskarah. What changed? I don't remember. There's a reason why things changed for some reason, and we repeat. And by the way, if you find the psul in the Sefer Torah, there is a Hechatitz where it's Nogea. If you find the psul in the Sefer Torah in Shavi, then you don't. That's the Mafti. You don't learn again. You don't make another bracha. Then you go back to the Ikar Hadin. And you just immediately, as long as you lay the whole parasha, they found a mistake. Sometimes the Baal Kriya will find a mistake, and it's not really sure it's a mistake, so he finishes the Aliyah, and then the guy makes the bracha, and then Liboy Noikvai, he has guilt feelings. Maybe there's really a mistake, and he opens up and he looks more carefully, calls over the rabbi, and the rabbi says, Puzzle! But you already finished the Aliyah. That's right, if you already finished the seventh Aliyah, there's nothing more to do. And you do not repeat the Maftir. You just go right into the Haftarah. That's a Hechatimsa when you would not repeat. In any event, we do this, which are ordinarily just repeat for no reason. There are reasons why we repeat the Aliyahs during the year, because we have a need. but for no reason whatsoever, this is unacceptable, and yet on Simchas Torah, this is the way we do it. Okay, next. Now this is the ultimate mystery. This is the ultimate mystery. There are more mysteries coming up soon. But this is a really laning at night. This is one of my favorite topics. This is the only time of the year when you lay at night. Okay, every shul you lay at night, right? I don't think there's any shul that doesn't lay at night.
Oh, the Lubavitch.
You don't lay at night?
There's
no mikar to lay at night. You know, in fact, nighttime is not a time for Torah Shabbat Saf. Nighttime is a time for Torah Shabbat Peh. And so you want to read? Okay, read without a bracha. A bracha, to make a bracha, shocking chiddush. Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch, I mean, Shulchan Aruch says we do it, we do it, we'll talk about that in a second, but where does it come from? Where's the makar? Where's the source? This is not what Chazal ever were misaking. They never made a takana in the earliest sources that you should read the Torah with the bracha, three aliyos at night. Some shuls have five aliyos, some have more, I don't know what they do. I remember my father became the rabbi in the Yonah Avenue J. I told this to you last year. Is they asked him the first time it was Simchas Torah. They asked him how many aliyos should we lay on the night of Simchas Torah. So my father said, "Well, what did you do last year? We don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
We don't remember what we did last. Do whatever you're doing last year. I'm not going to go make new changes." And interesting. I know my father. He asked them, "Why don't you find out what they do in the Young Israel of Flappish?" Because everything they did in the Young Israel of Avenue J was a carbon copy of what they did in the Young Israel of Flappish. And whatever they did in the Young Israel of Flappish is what they did in Germany. Okay, there used to be, remember, maybe you know about this more, you in my eyes, I don't want to hear about Pesach learning, in my eyes, you are the executive director of the National Council of Young Israel. Whoever controls the money, you're the controller, right? You're the controller? Okay, whatever, you oversaw the books.
I'm a film collector.
Okay, but the National Council of Young Israel, it appears, if I'm not mistaken, you have to ask all the big machers, is that when they established the Young Israel movement, there was a standard nusach. I don't know if it's in the charter, but it was an unofficial rule. There were unofficial rules and regulations which today don't exist. What?
Yeah, there were some certain uniformity rules.
Now, there were certain things in the charter, like you must have a mechitza, categorically. Number two, you're not allowed to sell aliyos.
Right.
That's down the drain by now. Okay, there are many young Israels today that sell aliyos.
Can't survive.
What they sell? The charter is over bottle. Okay, there are other incredible things they had there in that charter. Fascinating is this topic of study to give a college course on that charter. History of Judaism in America.
And the trouble.
And today, no one could care less. Are there young Israels that daven Nusach Svard? I'm sure there are.
I know of one branch in Florida that is mainly from South American Sephardim.
They daven the real Svard.
Yeah.
And they're called the Young Israel.
Yes.
You see, go back 80 years ago, they would never allow such a thing.
Latin America found
it. Wow, that's a chiddush. Okay? Look, I don't know, in all the Nusach Ashkenaz shuls that I daven in, I have a very hard time finding a Nusach Ashkenaz siddur. I have to at least take a few.
There are a few very small branches that are run by Chabad rabbis.
Ah, the Nuschari, Young Israel. Okay, when was the last time there was a new Young Israel?
I did not go.
A long time ago?
Listen, I haven't been there for 11 years, so... But it
20 years at least?
No. There were some new ones while I was there. Yeah. A few new ones.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
I would imagine one of the last had to be the one in Las Vegas.
Yeah?
No, I don't know. I'm just guessing, I said.
Okay, but there used to be, okay, there were rules that were in the charter. No aliyah, you know, the sell aliyahs, and you have to have a mechitza, but a lot of very things. There was an unofficial rule, the nusach. There was a nusach that it was a German nusach. I don't know, some people, yes, they have to ask the old timers, they'll tell you which nusach it is. And slichas, They daven poilin, not litta. They daven, they make havdalah, make havdalah, and you make kiddush. There are a lot of nuance. People who appreciate these things, who know the history, know nusach. Maybe they were even nigunim. People who know that this is a lost art. Some of the stuff probably is totally gone from us. But there was a special nusach of exactly this is the way we do things. My father probably was not aware of this. My father was aware of this. He probably would have asked the people there to go find out what exactly. They would have asked Reverend Friedman, Zichron Levracha. Reverend, he was the Reverend, he was the Shamish in the Young Israel of Flatbush. He preserved the Messiah there. And he probably can tell you he passed away a long time ago. He would probably tell you in a second, Simchas Torah, exactly how many Aliyos they had the night of Simchas Torah. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. It's probably five.
Dozens of different versions of what they lay on.
Right. Okay, Echanami, that's another thing. That's another thing. What are you laying exactly? 100%. 100% exact. Whole part of it. So I don't think my father, when he first became a rabbi, he was familiar with this whole thing. And he just asked, what do you think? No one knew. So my father just said off the cuff, he said, listen, laying, everyone knows that laying Simchas Torah at night has no makar, and it's an incredible chiddush to begin with. And if there's no set minute here in this shul, so less is more. Three. You lay in three aliyahs v'zehu. And that became the standard minute for all the years that I was there. I don't know what they do now, but all the years that I was there, they lay in the night of Simchas Torah, three aliyahs.
What's about Knesset Sefer Torah then?
Oh, that's a big topic of discussion.
Minig when it started to lay at night probably was five, because there is that one nusuk that we just said what they're laying, and it was, I have one of the old, you know, shul, I have two of them in our shul, old Mount Zorim that are like this tall.
Yeah.
For the, and it says on it what you're laying for each aliyah. And
right.
One from Bereshis, one from Shemos, one from Vayikra.
I don't know that. In Shemosh. In Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say Shulchan Aruch. It says you lay Nedarim.
What you lay.
In Shulchan Aruch, it says. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that the night of Simchas Torah, you lay in Parshas. I'm not even sure if it says the night. Maybe it says the night. I don't remember if it says the night. You lay in Parshas Nedarim. What is Nedarim? What does that mean? My high. So there's a whole pilpul. What does it mean, Nidorim? Everyone, right? Yeah. So many say it means you lay in Parshas. Why? Because the minhag was, the Simchas Torah is you make a commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you make a neder. Noidrin lekayim hamitzvos. Or, New Year's resolution. There were three people in Tanakh that was called Hishbiu Es Atzman. They took a shavu upon themselves to be Mekayim the Mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu, Boaz, and David. And every single person, the night of Simchas Torah, is supposed to follow in the ways of Avraham, Boaz, and David. Ovad. Aleph Beis David, Avraham, Boaz, and David, and to basically take a Sefer Torah, you do Hakafis, Nikitas Chetetz, and you make a neder. Noidrim vayidor Yaakov neder leimar im yiyeh lekim yimod yishmani derech hazeh shenoch yolech v'nasim lechem lechol vegel ulboish v'shavti v'sholom beisali v'hoya lekim v'evan azoyis asher samti ma'atsivo yiyeh beis lekim.
When did he do that? When he got up in the morning?
When he woke up from the dream.
Right.
He woke up from the dream.
He woke up in the middle of the night.
Whenever he woke up.
That's why you lay at night.
You're saying you got an interesting idea. You want to say they woke up in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
That's not Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah,
you
woke up
dream,
in the morning.
You wake up at night. You don't wake up in the morning.
Okay, you're saying a good idea. You're saying something very interesting. I like what you're saying. It needs further investigation.
It
you're saying.
Sound like he got up in the morning. I understand, but it made it sound like, because then it says, so he got up and he started
Parashas in the morning.
It was daylight.
In any event, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you lay in Parashas Nedarim. So since, according to the Bali Machshava, the whole purpose of Simchas Torah is to recommit yourself. Mashbin es atzman, there's a relation between a shavu and a neder. Therefore, you lay in Parashas Matos. the parish of Nidorim. Okay, that used to be a very common minhag. Others disagree. They say, no, that's not what it means. It means that when they would donate, when they would, people would want to write, commission a sefer, to write a new sefer Torah, like what they do today, they ask people to give donations. If you give $1,000, it will be your zuchus for parashas kol hanorim. Hamalach ha-goyel oisi. For $10,000, you're going to get the zechus of owning the portion of the Yitin Lecha Halukim, Yitin Hashemayim. The Birchos Yaakov, the Birchos Moshe. There are sections, the Shiras Hayam, the Shiras HaBe'er. There are sections in the Torah that were commonly sold at auction when they commissioned the writing of a new Sefer Torah to raise money, and people would be noider, they would vow, they would pledge significant sums of money, and a section of the Torah was on their name. The Aseres Hadibrois. You see this when you see different organizations when they do fundraising things, and they go and they put on a card, and they sell the gartel, and they sell the mantle, and they sell the parshas v'idin l'chon, parshas, they sell Bereshis, and they sell this, they sell that, and then they go, they sell every single letter. Chabad is very into this. You sell Kol Yisrael, every Jew has a letter in the Torah, every single letter they try to sell. They had this during COVID. COVID, they went, they wrote a community, they raised an enormous amount of money. And all these celebrities, it was for Hatzalah, the money went for Hatzalah at the end. They wrote Sifrei Torah, and they sold each letter as a chus that COVID should go away. And they gave the money to Hatzalah. They had two different campaigns promoting that. All these celebrities promoting this. So there are parshiyos that people pledge. That's what you lay in the night of Simchas Torah, which means you goyla. You start off by laying, let's say, Bereshis. And then
we lay for the Trojan to Magid laying.
What's that?
We learn the parasha Le'itim Lecha.
Vidim Lechem.
Then the second parasha is Hamalach HaGoel.
So you're going Hamalach, okay, that's fine, okay,
and then next. The third one was Matov.
Matov and Bolok.
Yeah.
Those are the three Elias.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it means, Parashas Nedarim. Okay, now there could be, I don't remember, there could be other ideas of what it means, Parashas Nedarim, but it says in the Mishnah Berurah, for some reason that we don't know,
We don't do it.
For some reason, the Mishnah Berurah, for some reason, we don't know why, this minhag has disappeared. Beautiful minhag, it has disappeared, and we lay in v'zoy
samracha. We still do it.
Sorry? Right.
So we still do it.
You still do it. Very rare.
We still did it.
Right, you still, what about now? What do you mean, did it? What about now?
They were going to look for one safer?
Yeah.
They didn't take out five different scores.
I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know. You're saying very good. I don't know. Did they go? I don't know. Good question. Who knows? But the Mishnah Berurah says today all that came to an end. We just learned from the Zayis HaBracha. Baruch is saying that in his shul, they did it. They did still follow this minhag. We live in America, and the art school machzer, it doesn't say. And today, someone wakes up in the morning, and the art school, you cannot imagine the toikif, the power of art school. Standardize a nusach for the whole Klal Yisrael, it's a shocking thing. And the people, the power, the toikif of art school, just follow what it says in the art school machzer. That became the go-to default minhag, which is incredible. I don't know if they realized how much power they had in people have all, you know, people come from all over the world. It's also very interesting is what exactly the tekiyas do you blow on Rosh Hashanah? They standardized, this is the Seder HaTekiyas. That's not so posh what they did. It's not so posh. They put a standardized minhag of exactly what the Seder HaTekiyas. Go look in all the Svarim, all the Minhagim, you'll find incredible diversity of what exactly the order of Tekiyas, even Tekiyah Gedoyla. Our school, they decide they have three Tekiyah Gedoylas. So I daven Rosh Hashanah, they only did two Tekiya Gedolos. So I asked the Makri, I have a chutzpah on the Yom HaDin to ask the Makri, why, when you finish the Tekiyus, the Miyushuv, did you say Tekiya Gedolos? But when you finish the Tekiyus, the Amidah, you didn't say Tekiya Gedolos. So he said to me, that's what it says in my Machzor. He was not using an article Machzor. So it's interesting because probably 80% of the people in the shul where I daven were using an article Machzor, and they probably were wondering the same thing. Why did he say only Tekiya and didn't say Tekiya Gedolos? And he had no clue that when he said Tekiya and he didn't say Tekiya Gedolos, that 80% of the people with their Sidurim, it didn't say in their Machzor, it says Tekiya Gedolos, and they were all wondering why he left out the Gedolos. Okay, and he said, I just do what it says in my Machzor. Okay, it's very interesting what has happened. So you open up the article Machzor, what does it say? V'zoy sabrocha, v'zehu, v'yitim lecha, malcha goyel, matoivu. Who ever heard of these things? Aser said, no one heard of these things. This is not what we do, but that's what it says in the Mishnah. In any event, the point we want to make over here is the sixth leniency is that you lain at night, which is truly a shocking chiddush lahalacha. It would be unheard of today for someone to go and arrange a kriya satorah at night. Okay, next. Now this is something that to me is utterly fascinating. I wonder if anyone ever heard what I'm about to tell you now. And no one does this today. I've never seen anyone do this today. It doesn't make sense. There's a big, there's a lot of rabbinic literature, as a Kefir would say, about this next minhag. Never heard this before. Never heard this. Chosin Bereshis. Let's fast forward to Simchas Torah by day. Chosin Bereshis. It appears there's a minhag kadmoin, an ancient minhag. The one that gets Chosin Torah, Baruch Hu. First of all, number one, the minhag kadmon beyond a shadow of a doubt was there's no Baal Kriya. The one that gets the Aliyah is the one that lanes. Okay, even though the whole year there's a Chazan, the whole year there's a Baal Kriya. Okay, the Baal Kriya is called the Chazan, or called the Kore. He's called the Kore or the Chazan.
Well, most halachas form is called the Chazan.
The Chazan, the one who reads. Today we have invented a new term called the Baal Kore. Okay, that's redundant. The Kore is automatically the Baal. So if you want to be grammatically correct, you would say the those that are very medactic, they love to sting you. No, it's not the Baal Kore, it's the Baal Tekiya. Anyone that says that to you, you say, tell me, what about the Baal Tokeya? No one ever said the Baal Tekiya. So it doesn't mean anything. People who like to chatter you about, it's not the Baal Kore, it's the Baal Korea. If you don't want to leave out the word, you want to call Kore, you just say the word Kore. So the Kore, the Chazan, and there's no problem. You can say the Baal Kore. It's perfectly fine. It's no different than saying the Baal Tokeya. And no one's going to ever say the Baal Tekiya. And there's no reason why there should be a difference between the two, not that I know of.
No.
What?
Grammatically?
Yes.
Why? One is a master of what? Not of a verb, a master of.
Tokea, the word tokea means the one who blows.
No,
what is the literal translation of the word tokea?
So what's Baal then?
The one.
No.
Yeah.
It's the master of.
The tokea is the master. Automatically means the master.
Okay.
All right, let's not fight about this. It's not important. Now listen to this chiddush. Besides the fact that the one that got chosin torah would lane, there was a minhag kadmon. Go check it out. I'm not making this up. He made the bracha. Baruch Hu Es Hashem Hamevayroch. Baruch Hashem Varoch Lilam. Baruch Ato Hashem Lokidim Melechum Hashem. Baruch Harbon Mikolamim. The Nasan Lanu Es Teresa. Baruch Ato Hashem Noisein HaTorah. And now he's about to begin. Bereshis Baro Elokim. Before he says the word Bereshis, but after he said Baruch Ato Hashem Noisein HaTorah, he would say Bisimono Tavo. This should be a good simon. Like you said, the Rosh Hashanah night, Simana Milsa, when the new year begins, costs a lot of money, all the Simana. It costs a lot of money today, it takes a lot of time to prepare this Simanim for the night of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, there's a lot of effort that goes into this. A head of a fish, head of a sheep, you have a pomegranate, you have the apple, and you have the leek, and the celery, all these things, and these type of lentils, and this and that, I don't even know what these things are. Simon and Milsa, right? It's like Farah Shugamara, that Hashta, the Amrin, and Simon and Milsa, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, Bereish Shata, a person should be makbid to be Oisek in Simon and Milsa. When you start the Torah all over again from the very beginning, it's like a new year. It's even greater. You're starting the Torah. So before you say the words Bereishis, after you say the Bracha, and it's the same person, it's not the Baal Kriya, the one that made the Bracha and is about to read, he says, he's basically Mafsik, and he says, Bisimono Tova, Bereishis Baro Elohim, Eis HaShemayim V'Eis HaRetz. You ever heard this minute? I never heard this minute before. Unbelievable minute. Now the truth is, there's a precedent for this. There's a parallel to this that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. And that is, and if you take it very literally, I'll give you two other examples of this. If you want to take it very literally, it's the same thing. On Tisha B'Av, the person who gets an Aliyah, I'm not sure if it's all of the Aliyah, so the third Aliyah, maybe it's the third, I don't know which Aliyah, maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't remember.
The first Aliyah.
The first Aliyah? Not, yeah. Only the Kohen?
Yeah, thanks.
Only
the Kohen. You sure about that?
Only
the Kohen? I don't remember only the Kohen.
Only this Kohen.
Okay, I gotta go look up now. I learned those halachas inside. I don't remember it's only the Kohen. I thought it said, it wasn't clear. Okay, I'm not arguing, 100%. Before you make the... We'll check it out. It's okay, it's fine. If you take this halacha literally, is you make the bracha. We don't do this today, but if you make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Noiseinu Torah, Baruch Dayan Emes, and then you say, how does our lining go? And Tisha B'Av, whatever. You start the lining of Tisha B'Av.
He solid
bond with Nevan and Shantem Baritz. What's going on over here? So isn't that amazing? Now I'll give you a third example, which also we know very few, if any, do this. Akdamas. We don't do this either today, but look in the old books.
They make the bracha first.
They make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Noiseinu HaTorah, and then after you make the bracha, before you begin the first pasuk, almost no one does this today. Even those who do it, they're going to lay in two psukim. But there are makaris. I mean, this is not a joke. There are makaris that before you actually even begin the first pasuk of Kriya Satora on Shavuos, Akdamos Milin Vishara Yoshusa Avla Shakilna Harmanu Neshusa. So give three examples of where, and I can find you a source. I'm confident that these words are said between the bracha and the beginning of the kriya. So two we know about, Baruch Dayan Emes, that we know about, and we know about Akdamos, and now, I never knew this, incredible, there's such a minhag, before you start Bereishis, Bisimona Toiva, Hashla Diamarta Simona Milsa, hi, person that's dance, Bereish Yarcha, you have the karba, and you have the leek, and all these different things, it says in the Gemara, there was a mina kadmain to say b'simon, that the laning of the Torah should be for us a good simon. Beautiful mina.
I'm giving you a hefsek.
Okay, why is it not a hefsek?
Because, for example, by Chazak, okay, even though most of the world says you cannot say Chazak.
Not in most.
No, I won't.
50%.
Yeah, but...
okay, yeah.
Okay. My Rebbe Zichron the Rav has said Chazak.
Okay.
And it's based on the Rav Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shulchan Aruch says And it's part, this is part.
Chelik of the laning. So that's a very, that's a great, that's a fourth example. You're very good at Baruch, you've now added, we have another example. Excellent, fantastic. That in the end, when you finish, the one that gets chazak, in the yeshivish world, the briskus, they're going to say, the one that gets the aliyah, they're going to tell them, don't say chazak, chazak, when it's chazak, because it's a hefsik between the kriya and the bracha. Right? The olam should say chazak, chazak, when it's chazak, but the one that gets the aliyah should not say, hey, who says that's correct? Whoever told you that? Okay, the people that are very into this will tell you, oh, they love to show you something that you never knew before, and they tell you you shouldn't say. Not necessarily true. It's not, there are many makoros that the one that gets the aliyah is permitted to say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Wow, look at, but it's a hefsik. We have now four examples. And basically, all four, ruba d'ruba, we don't do. Okay, to say simon, b'simon etova, baruch dayin ha'emes, akdamos, and at the end, before the chasima, to say chazak chazak v'nis chazek. Chaloi dover. Now today, we don't do this. You know, people don't even do baruch dayin ha'emes. Why don't they do baruch dayin? Now they don't do it. Certainly today, no one is doing this between the bracha in the global melting pot of America. It's not common, extremely rare for it to be done. And basically, no one is going to be mafsik today between the bracha and the beginning of the kriya. So when do you do these things? So akdamas, we all know. Akdamas you do before. That became the minhag today. The minhag in most of the world today is, you call the person, v'yazor v'yagin, v'yashul l'chol l'chasim bo, yamoid, v'chulu v'chulu. He comes up, and you show him the place. You open up the Sefer Torah, you show him the place, and then you close the Sefer Torah. And before he makes the bracha, akdamus milin. That's the way we do it today. Ruba d'ruba. Baruch dayin ha'emes. Hanach lochem liyisrael. I'm willing to bet that 90% of the shuls, they don't say it all together. Is it because of ignorance, or is it because maybe there's something that we don't know? They don't say it all together, and they just do it regularly. It appears that today there are a lot of things that we should do on Tisha B'Av that we don't do altogether. It could be that also felt that there's a reason why we don't do it, even though it says Shulchan Aruch you should do it. Look, a classic example. When you go to the Beis HaKisei, do you say to the angels that are accompanying you, Hischabdu Mechubadai? Did you ever see someone do that? You stand outside in the hall here in Young Israel, and before they go into the Beis HaKisei, they say, the angels who are accompanying me, please honor yourself. Stand down. I have to enter the room that does not have a mezuzah. It's not bakovedik for you to come into this room. Did you ever see someone talk to the angels? Never. Oh, but it says in Shulchan Aruch he's supposed to do this. I don't know what the answer is. Whatever. There are certain things that are mysteries. There are mysteries. Why the oil for some reason? I don't. They don't do this. You don't see people in the Tisha B'Av saying Baruch Dayin Ha'emes. Is it because of ignorance? Maybe. Maybe it's just ignorance. Or maybe there's something that we don't know. There's a reason why we don't do it. Siman HaTayv is not in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. Nowhere. It's not in the Mishnah. It's not in any of the... This it's a minhag. There's a lot of Torah on this. Hefsek, not Hefsek. Guns are pulled in from different achrayim. And they come out with an incredible chiddush lahalacha. It's an incredible chiddush lahalacha. Two chiddushim that are beyond belief. Beyond belief, what I saw. One chiddush is too much to bear. And that is the only time something is a hefsik, you can be mafsik. When you make a bracha, this is too much to bear now. Yeah, it's full of your cheer to say this, someone here, you repeat this in my name, they'll say the apikorsis. This is what it says here. From Chosh Svarim, and that is, when you make a bracha on an object, let's say I want to make a bracha on a cup of coffee. Baruch atah Hashem Elokei Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaray. You drink the coffee right away. If I talk in between making the bracha and drinking the coffee, it's okay. As long as my dibur is less than toich kedei dibur. It's less than the amount of time it takes for me to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri. Shalom Alecha Halal, 1.5 seconds, let's say 2 seconds. So, chaperayim, you can talk whatever you want to talk. That's what it sounds like. You can do whatever you want to say. You have a message to sell someone. So before you make the bracha and you're about to sip, I have a thought on your mind. You can say it. Just make sure you get your message out within 1.5 seconds. Even though you actually said something. I actually said something. So it's okay. That's not a hefsek. The hefsek is the zman. Not what you say. This is too much to bear. Sorry, this is too much to bear. So even though halacha l'maisa will never do such a thing, and in fact, halacha l'maisa, if a person would actually talk in between the bracha and drinking a cup of coffee, I'm almost certain all the poskim would say you have to make another bracha. You have to make a new bracha because you were mafsik. You should be aware, not everyone agrees to that. There are sources, which unfortunately I'm not good with, that say, who says you have to make another bracha? If you were mafsik and you said new, think about it. Who gives you permission when you go Friday night, Shabbos day, to say new?
But you can say, if you say, give me a
spoon. Well, there you make the bracha. Yeah. There it's not a right, because there you make the bracha. No one would say new.
Give me a straw.
No, that's different. If you say, give me a straw, that's l'tzorech l'achila. That you can talk even more. That you can talk, say a whole shulchan aruch. If you're going to be, say, make a bracha, then you can have a whole conversation. Well, what should I do? That's it's not l'chatchila, but that is not called a hefsek. But let's say you talk about something totally unrelated. So, halacha.